Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft. We're talking round 13 on the show this week, reviewing the round from a fantasy perspective, then looking ahead to the last of the multi-buy rounds. Whether your draft plays through this time or not, we've still got plenty of content that'll either help you get through this time or prepare you for that run home of the fantasy finals. I'm Doss, and joining in the fun this week is Stevie Fizz. How was your weekend?
Nah, pretty bad actually, Doss, and g'day to the listeners, but I've got a very sick three-year-old, and that just ain't good. It's a bad life to live. I would recommend anyone avoid having kids.
That's no good. All the best to Baby Fizz. I know she's a huge listener and a big fan of the pod. Jono Crockett is on deck again, and word has it you're pretty close to printing those hashtag Bevo out t-shirts this weekend following the Carlton comeback.
G'day, listeners. No. Bevo in, just a master stroke to give those Carlton fans some shred of hope that their team is actually going to be pretty good. So well done to Bevo. He's a coaching mastermind, just like Peter Rhode, if anyone remembered that former Western Bulldogs coach calling himself the mastermind after two games.
I'm a bit too young for that. I am still very young, as you know there, Steve. And unfortunately, the third McLaughlin brother, Cam, is not here this week, though. But instead, it's his long-lost brother, Cam Holland-Smith, once again. And another monster performance from your younger brother, George, this week.
He went absolutely ham. 28, I think, was the score in AFL Fantasy. He looks like a keeper. I think it's one that you should probably stay stuck away for a little while.
Trash call, Cam. Okay, on to our round 13 review, discussing all the things we noticed from a fantasy perspective this weekend. And we're starting off with the Adelaide-Richmond game at Adelaide Oval, which I took a look at, and that was the Thursday night game. So there's only a few points from this one. Obviously, it was a bit of a spanking due to Richmond having so many outs at the moment. But without Ivan Soldo, who was also another late withdrawal, we saw Riley O'Brien go absolutely bonkers again. He went up against Maboya Chole and Noah Bolter and just ate them alive. 146 fantasy, 181 Supercoach points. So he runs all day, 89% time on ground, 6 clearances, 5 marks, 7 tackles, all the numbers. Guys, a question for you. Do we see Sam Jacobs again this year? He had 20 touches, 12 marks, a goal in the sample. Does Sauce belong in the sandful this year?
Yeah, I think he does.
Yeah, I think so. I don't have a problem with that. It's pretty interesting. It's a pretty tough call, like, to usurp a good servant of the club, obviously. But you'd have to. I find Adelaide a fascinating club because, you know, since their grand final appearance, it feels like they've underachieved. Yet you look at the bulk of their list and they're really in their prime, yet it feels like they're underachieving in the middle. I think they've got some interesting decisions ahead.
It's going to be just fascinating. And just hearing, I think it was Rory Sloan after the game speaking, and just the way he spoke about Sauce, he praised Riley O'Brien for his performance because obviously it was a monster performance, but there was still that, like, you know, keep your head together, young fella. Sammy Jacobs is on his way back if you make a one wrong move. It was that kind of a praise. And I just wonder, like, looking ahead, man, like, Riley O'Brien in the finals for us this year, round 23, he's up against the Doggies. Gee, you'd be lucky to have him if you picked him off the wire. It'd be a huge performance. All right, so the other sort of thing I noticed from this game, without Trent Cotchin, the Tigers just went straight to the two remaining mid-guns, Dustin Martin and Dion Prestia. They had 24 and 25 centre bounce attendances each out of a possible 28. So you checked those numbers out last week, and I think the big beneficiary was Prestia, who went up from 58% last week to 89% in this matchup. So obviously a huge big scores from him across the formats there. 130 in fantasy, I think, was the better. But the other one there to gain was Jack Higgins, who we actually talked about last week. He actually got his biggest chance in the midfield, I think, this year. After having zero CBAs last week, he had 5 in the first half and just wasn't really having a big impact in that half. So they switched back to Jack Graham, who, I mean, you know, going forward, we're probably just going to see Cotchin come back and it's not going to be a huge deal. But if Cotchin misses more time. We might see Graham spend a bit more time. He had 8 CBAs in the second half following 0 in the first. So he cracked the ton in fantasy and nearly got there in Supercoach. So honestly, just this game sort of really just showed, I think, the value even of someone like an Ivan Soldo to just stem the ruck bleeding because, yeah, this was just a bit of a blowout in the midfield department. Do you guys notice anything from this one?
I'd say probably the thing I've noticed, like, because I was trading the CBAs for Adelaide about 6 weeks ago, and I actually traded out Brad Crouch just on the eve of the Matt Crouch injury. And obviously, with Matt Crouch missing time, created that midfield opportunity for Brad. The thing was, Brad was barely getting in the middle. He was playing a wing role. And even with all the guys in, I thought once, you know, everyone came back and all that, that he'd sort of go back to that outside role, like Cam Ellis-Yolm and Greenwood, and that'd be in there. And it's just not the case. Like, I think they've seen, you know, like Brad Crouch is pretty limited in his disposal. Like, he's not the greatest ball user going around, much like a lot of the Adelaide midfield, to be perfectly honest. And he's just stayed in there. So that's probably great for his fantasy output going forward. I got that one wrong on the trade front myself. Probably hasn't cost me great deal, but I just think that's an interesting thing going forward and probably more interesting to look at from a Hugh Greenwood point of view.
So Hugh Greenwood actually played a lot more forward this game, and since Matt Crouch has come back, he still put up like 91 AFL fantasy, but it was, you know, he needed a goal to do it and a couple of marks there as well. So I'd suggest he'll probably take a bit of a hit in the coming weeks.
Well, that Greenwood's playing that Tom Lynch forward up the ground type role, so that's might see him get dropped when Tommy Lynch does come back, because he was out of that team, Greenwood, in an only late call up a couple of weeks ago.
It'd also be interesting going forward. Greenwood could actually be a valuable addition later in the year if he does get the forward status as well, when he does potentially get some stints through the midfield. But that's all I had from that game. So the Hawks there couldn't quite pinch the victory over Essendon at Marvel Stadium, but it was a stomper game, Steve.
No, that would be me.
Tish, but I'm not doing it.
That would be me, thanks, Doss. But no, good to see you looking after me. No, there was a bit of pinching and stomping going on, and the tag is back in vogue. A lot of teams starting to bring the tag back in. And we saw Clark go straight to O'Meara, and he wore him like an OJ glove and just stopped all his output for that game. O'Meara, he was hopeless. But it seems that Ricky Henderson, he's just having a kick-ass year. Do you think a tag might end up coming to him, seeing he's just getting the ball at will, or he's not damaging enough with his disposal?
I think that it's just easier for them to tag because Henderson, I think I recorded the CBAs in this one. I don't think Henderson was even in at the centre bounce. So I guess it's just kind of harder to tag someone that's not in and around the ball, I'd imagine. Like Henderson only spent a few of the CBAs in there. So old Dill Clark was in at every single stoppage, just going every. The thing is, though, Dylan Clark was in there when there wasn't O'Meara in there. He was just in there all the time, like just playing a defensive role. So it just kind of looks like Woosha is now going, like you said, the tag's back in vogue, and he's found that successful against Cripps and looking to use it again.
And the Bombers have got West Coast Eagles Thursday night as well. So if Yo's back, or is it Shuey tag, could be one of those guys coming to them. Hawthorn's kick mark, high possession, uncontested game, didn't stand up to Essendon's run and gun. Like, they just played on every single time they got the ball. The Bombers got it inside 50, give their forwards an opportunity. And we've spoken about this ad nauseum. Defenders against the Hawks is a quality matchup. Just about all their defenders hit some sort of a ton in fantasy. McKenna, Hurley, Hooker, Saad all scored very well in both your fantasy formats throughout the week and on the weekend, and the Swans are playing the Hawks this weekend as well. So if there's any Hawks defenders that aren't highly owned, I'd recommend getting them.
Was there any, say, positional moves on the Hawks side there, Jono?
Maybe I'm getting to it. Highlight? Oh, no, I'm just getting to the people outraged at the fact that James Sicily played about two quarters down forward. He was on Michael Hurley. Hurley actually blanketed him and took Sicily out of the game. I know Hawthorn would probably look, and it pushed Gunston actually into defence, so it was a bit of a switch there. But Sicily wasn't having too much of an influence as that marking forward, so he did eventually get moved back. Did score the 85 AFL Fantasy, 87 Supercoach, but a lot of owners out there would have been pulling their hair out, wondering why the hell Clarko put James Sicily forward.
Certainly, and I noticed, because I will mention CBAs just a few times through this, because I did chart them this weekend on a few games, but I noticed Parrish had, from going from one in that first half, he had seven in the second half, and really has been someone that has been showing a few signs over the last few weeks there, Jono.
Yeah, it could have been with the Stringer injury. He got a bit more of a bump, but they were just rotating a lot of players through that midfield group, but Parrish is certainly, and Langford, have been the beneficiaries of that the last couple of weeks. And Sheil looked a little bit off too.
Steve, our Gold Coast Suns got some early goals on the board but couldn't quite finish off the job at MetroCon on Saturday afternoon. Oh yeah, and let's take a quick flashback to the 2013 AFL draft, because it's safe to say the Saints got the pick spot on, Steve.
What?
Jack Billings.
Billings over Bont.
Oh. Right. sorry, Doss. There was actually... just for the listeners at home, because they can't see the recording, there was actually a tumbleweed just went fucking flying past the lounge room. Just deserved my full attention. But there's been a little bit of topical humour on the podcast tonight, so just to stay in that vogue, what do the Suns players have in common with the Chinese government's version of Tiananmen Square massacre? And the answer is that neither have a tank... Right? So my concern about the Gold Coast Suns players is they can't run out the match. Not a lot of laughs there. I thought it was pretty funny.
It was really clever, but it was more of a, yes, good one.
I'll write that into The Age. does that still exist? Does The Age still exist?
The Australian, you probably want to more target the Australian readers.
Ah, there you go. yeah, so they just can't run out of a match. Like, honestly, they were like 31 up halfway through the third quarter and still got overrun. The mids continue to absolutely hammer the Suns. Billings obviously went full ham. Seb Ross came out with a ton, quite unbelievably. Luke Dunstan as well. Noticeably, Sam Day was in for this match for his first game of the year, and he scored 90, over 90 in both formats, and was actually the relief ruck for the Suns instead of 2-meter Peter. Might be something to look at going forward. I'm not sure if Sam Day's long for the AFL, but he's tall, so he'll probably stick around. But it might hurt 2MP's scoring going forward if he's not being able to pick up that cheap 6-7 hitouts.
Yeah, a bit of a question mark as well on Sam Day's hamstring in the final quarter. Copped a little bit of a womp by the looks, and he's going to be probably missing maybe one or two.
Didn't see that, but there you go. Hard to see any Suns near the footy. And also, Blake Akers did get a decent chunk of midfield time with Jack Steele out. Didn't really convert it into a score. His usual low TOG. I see through Dossie's CBA stats that Jade Gresham's been in there quite a lot anyway, but he did get a significant uptick. Be interesting to see what they do with Hannabury going into that team, possibly.
Yeah, that's a good point. They did really rely on a sort of heavy, only the four sort of guys going through there. So that was an interesting fact. With Blake Akers,
we have seen that a lot, like from teams. There's been, you know, the prime three midfielders, the next guy who gets sort of, I don't know, 40-50%, and then 15, sort of the 18. Rotational little pieces. Yeah, the guys who take sort of two or three a match. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Aints. David Armidge played, which, you know, I don't think he's long for the AFL either. But a lot of people picked him up and used him this week. I didn't have the stones to do it, but there you go. Yikes.
Well, I think it was in the hope that he would just slot in and be the Jack Steele replacement, but they just went with a heavier midfield rotation of the Gresh, the Ross, Dunstan, and Akers, right?
Yeah, and I'm not shocked. Like, he... at this point of his career as a role player.
Yeah.
If he's sticking on a list, it's to play whatever the club tell him to play. So, yeah.
And
I
so
don't
he,
think
he wasn't playing
around.
Midfield. Was he down back or something?
He was. He was sort of floating, like just not in the center, if that makes sense. So wing, back,
forward.
Yeah, yeah. With Blake Akers as well, you mentioned him. He had the eight centre bounces. You said he was kind of the guy behind the big four that they were using. But he only he had 22 disposals, was pretty good, but only played 65% time on ground. Do you think it's his tank or is it the role?
It's classic Blake Akers. That's just what we've seen from him over his career. He's one of those guys who his best is elite, but his worst is shocking. Like the gap between the two is what's always going to hold a guy like Blake Akers back. I don't know what his tank's like, but he has never gotten the time on ground.
Yeah, it's a shame. Right, well, Ross the Boss and Sonny Walters got the win over the Power in Perth, Cam.
Yeah, that obviously the first thing that I wanted to know, Steve, you're a massive fan of Michael Walters. How many boxes of tissues did you go through for this game?
Well, I just actually sat there with my smug face on watching everyone catch up.
Yeah.
To what I've known for years.
Steve actually gave me some of the best pre-season advice going into this year when I had Hopper on the table for Walters, and he said, I'd go Walters, but, you know, we'll see what happens. And I took that trade, and it's working out very handsomely for me. So, yeah, what a game from him. 25 possessions, a billion goals, and he put on an absolute clinic. The second thing is Westhoff actually played the role that we think he's going to move into after Dixon's back. It looks like they were trying to give him a little bit of a warm-up this week before it actually happens in earnest. He played exclusively in the midfield and racked up 18 possessions, which is actually known for. What was missing were those hit-outs that he was getting last year that sort of elevated his score a little bit in that extra time around the centre bounce, because he was coming in off the wing and he was restricted to 73 fantasy points. I think given that was a bit of a warm-up, it's probably going to look a lot healthier in the coming weeks, and I think you'll probably see that push to the 80-85 mark. Just from a, you know, observational perspective as well, this game actually wasn't as competitive as the score led on. So throughout the game, it was pretty tight on the scoreboard, but actually in the first quarter, Frio turned over the ball three times in defence to Port for them to convert easy goals. And from there, it was always catch up for Frio. What really tells the story, though, is the defensive line of Hartlett, Jonas, Burton, Dersma, and DBJ and their fantasy scores. Like, they were in the top seven of the Port Adelaide team, and that's because they were just constantly getting berated with the ball. The final thing, sorry, Stephen Hill, popular speculative this week because he's got the defensive status racked up, a shiny turd of 29 AFL fantasy points and 43 Supercoach. Drop it like it's hot.
Is that shocking, though? Like, he hasn't played a waffle game.
Yeah, I think it will build. So, he played 69% game time, and I think it will build over the next couple of weeks.
Oh, nice.
But
it's pretty rough. Like, I know he's an experienced dude, but to come in
cold,
rough, like, halfway through the year, like, that's...
Yeah.
That's a tough ask.
I think the one good thing to take out of it would be where he actually played. So, he wasn't playing off the half-back. He was playing predominantly between the centre square and the forward 50, which, will, you know, we've seen that position score pretty well before. Maybe give him a couple of weeks.
Hey, Cam, Mundy, another poor score. Is it time to get off now quickly while we can? Still got a really nice average there, but he's got a poor three-round average now for a bloke who's winding back the clock early in the year there.
I think you'd need to really, really get lucky with someone just looking at averages to offload him at this point. I think you're probably just stuck with Mundy, given that he's on a downturn. Maybe wait for him to stabilise, and if you can get a trade then, so be it. But he looks like he's going to play the 22 and he could be handy, or 23 rather, and he could be handy come finals anyway.
I want to touch again on Connor Blakely. He had a nice score the other week, but we did kind of flag that it might have just been because he played against a team that allowed quite good scores from defenders. But he's not really playing that midfield role, is he, Cam? I haven't done the CBAs for this one, but he has been playing down back. And I think the whole reason why we wanted him, I've said this in previous weeks, was because we wanted a defender that was actually playing midfield. But he's a defender playing as a defender and not actually scoring that well.
Yeah, that's it. And I think it will improve, but he's locked in the halfback role. I don't think he'll escape that unless there's an injury in the midfield. And especially with Stephen Hill looking to play that sort of half forward slash midfield role, the time is just getting smaller and smaller. What we've seen from Ross Lyon is he likes the sort of more athletic midfielders as well. You look at Bradley Hill, you look at Michael Walters, you look at even Stephen Hill. They're a slimmer, quicker build than your bull of Connor Blakely. So I think it's the structure that Ross is going for that's maybe not benefited Connor Blakely the way we thought it would. And maybe even, you know, Griffin Logue, like he was everywhere. Like he was way better than Connor Blakely, to be frank. And a similar role, like he was supposed to be playing like an intercept defender role, but actually he was just everywhere.
Okay. Well, we'll move on. I think we've got a question regarding him later on, but the Blues were led by Paddy Dow and waiver wire pickup from last week, Will Setterfield, on an epic comeback. But two of the three Bailey the Bulldogs repelled the late surge and got the W, Jono.
Yeah, well, one of them didn't he, was he even playing? I watched the whole match, and I think I saw him once, and that might have been running to the bench because he was just hopeless, and that was Bailey Dale. But no, the Dogs absolutely blitzed Carlton in that first quarter with blokes like Dunks, McRae, Bont, Lipinski, Daniel. They all had like 15 possessions in the first quarter, and their fantasy scores were just through the roof. Controlled the ball, contested, uncontested. I think it was 104 to 54 by the end of the first quarter. So absolutely blitzed them. And that set up your boy, Dunks, there, Steve, just had a massive game, 41 possessions, 10 tackles. He is in that midfield now. He is not moving. So if you got him, when you would have gone fifth or sixth round, he's now returning dividends. Like we saw pretty much like last year, started slow and now building into giving us some of those really good scores. Bont was on fire early, but in the second quarter, Ed Curno put the clamps right on him and stopped his output. He only finished with 27 disposals for the game, and he had 15 at quarter time, so Ed Curno did a massive job on him. Sort of got off in the last quarter when Ed Curno went off. Jack McRae back in the guts. Both him and Bont, they were the ones who, they weren't tagging Cripps, but they were body checking him at stoppages. So Bont and McRae would stand either side of him, so it just wouldn't give him any clear run to get the ball. That's why he's had 16 disposals. He's had no space to move for the whole game. And even Libba, he was actually carrying on pretty well till he jarred his knee there in the second quarter. And he was the one who was stopping the Bont in the tag as well. So once that happened, obviously Bont's injury went down. And Lipinski, he, I think you boys have called it the last couple of weeks, absolutely monstered it. When Libba did get out, he just stayed right in there, wasn't moving in. McLean went in a little bit, but I think we've got a question on him later on, which we'll talk about. But he is now playing a permanent pressure forward role and only took a couple of CBAs from what I saw.
That Lipinski looks like, so firstly, I think Tom Liberatore's done his meniscus, from what I can hear, and that's basically he's potentially going for surgery tomorrow, from what I've heard, and that's like a four to 6 week recovery. Lipinski, is he a pretty good hold for now?
I would think so. I mean, you've had 29 disposals, kicked two goals. We have seen him now play that inside mid role, but also sneak forward, take a couple of good grabs and kick a goal. So Bevo and his hybrid players, this guy, he's going to stay in the team, you would think.
Absolutely killing it. Hey, there was something I sort of thought last week would allow the Bont to have a bit more mid-time, and that was the pairing of Aaron Norton with Gardner, the rookie Gardner. Did that, another tall forward up forward to allow the Bont to sort of stay in the midfield, did you notice that as a thing in this game, Jono? Was the Bont sort of not had to force forward a bit more?
He did spend time forward, I think, trying to escape the tag, but Gardner was also swinging forward and a little bit ruck as well when English was off. Gardner, I don't see him long for that AFL team. He's probably a little bit out of his depth. Look, he's only 22, spend some more time there in the VFL and just see what happens. But, you know, the Doggies need a tall target down forward.
Yeah, so you did say Ed Curno now. It looks like he doesn't start in the midfield, but as soon as somebody gets hot, he's going to them. Going forward, captaincy options against Carlton, is this going to be something we have to look at? Because we know what he's done in the past. He can shut down opponents. Like you said, Bont had 14, 15 touches in the first quarter and barely touched for the rest of the game. is this a captaincy watch now against Carlton, another team that we sort of have to flag?
Well, maybe Cam can report on it, but Curnow did go off hobbling in the late in the fourth quarter, so he was limping a bit, whether it was just a cramp or I don't know. He didn't look too good, so he might be out for another week or two. And whoever Carlton's got, I know they've got the bye this week, so why not? It's just a wait and see, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, Reece Shaw's winning streak was snapped by Heath Shaw's Giants over in Tassie. What have we got for this one, guys?
Not much, Doss. This was probably... I think when you get to this point of the season, there's not always interesting stuff to talk about from a fantasy perspective because teams are somewhat set in their ways. I would suppose the thing that was interesting for fantasy coaches is with Higgins out, what would North Melbourne do? It was much of the same. LDU maybe got a little bit of a bump more inside midfielders without looking at the CBAs because I'm not married to that. Just thought we'd do it as a bit of a for interest thing. But when you're talking about North Melbourne, they just got starved of the pill. This was a shockingly low disposal game. There was only three North Melbourne players actually hit the 20 disposal mark, if you can believe it. So Ben Cunnington just got tagged into a pile of dust by Matty DeBoer as, you know, he continues on his merry way. Well, they did cop a knock, so there might be something to come out of that, although I think GWS are on their bye next week anyway, so might just be a one-week concussion sort of thing. I'm not sure. I will say Toby Green looked probably the best he's looked all year, Joe. Maybe you had a look at that as a Toby Green owner.
I didn't actually see much of this game, so I can't comment. I was out.
Yeah, no, that was one thing that was interesting to me. But aside from that, really just an abortion of a game to watch.
Jeez.
Wow. Oh. So what? Did Matty DeBoer get a little bit injured in this one, yeah, Steve, as well?
Yeah, so I think it's, from what I'm reading at the moment, it's his shoulder. Not a concussion. So there's every chance that maybe that stretches on for a few games. And, you know, from a fantasy captaining perspective, that's pretty handy, to be honest. Like, you hate to see someone get injured, but also you're kind of glad when the tagger goes down.
I don't. I like the tagger. I think the tag is good because it's a bit of a lottery. Like, I got, like, say the Bulldogs game, I've got McRae and Dunkley in a team. And the tag went to Bont. So, I've just thrown a party.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, oh, my God, these guys are going ham right now. It's, I don't mind it.
So, Steve, was it a bit of the nature of the game as well? Heath Shaw had his, worst performance in a while. Or do you reckon Reece Shaw maybe putting in a few tactics for his brother?
No, well, we've seen the Hobart games have been pretty, the Tasmania games for some reason. I don't know. Statesman was actually at this game, so he probably just threw the Moz out on the game to be just a piss poor game, but even Timmy Tirano overcame the Statesman Moz and just showed what a true beast he is.
All right, well, that is all the games from round 13. We've still got our waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, and a captain risky to come. So we haven't set any new targets for our iTunes ratings goals, but any new reviews this week there, Jono?
Not one. Oh. Still on 205 ratings. Cam better come up with an idea of something for me to do, but I'm happy to do the chili chip and I'll add chili sauce to it if you want, just to really rub it in.
All right. Well, I think we have to throw something out to the listeners though for this one. We have to get something happening for Jono. Think of something really bad that Jono will have to do when we hit our next target, but we'll get on to our waiver wire pickups for the week, only using players with that under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy. I don't think we've changed that, have we, Steve, yet? We're not moving with something?
Not yet. We're looking at it because it's just... It's like the North Melbourne GWS game. It's an abortion, an abortion, an abortion to look at. Just want to repeat that because Dossie's quite shocked.
His young ears. You're hurting his young ears.
Apparently. He's not young. He's like 40, he's like 47, so I don't know what's going on there.
Them youthful looks.
So, yeah, the youthful looks. They'd probably, you know, whatever, induce one. But, yeah, we probably need to change that more for redraft because Ultimate Footy is so heavily keeper weighted.
We'll see what we can do in the future about sort of figuring out for sort of slightly different leagues. We know there's plenty of different leagues out there. But for now, we are using the under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy. And Cam, do you want to start us off with who your pickups are this week?
Yep. So with Jared Berry still being a couple of weeks out, Lewis Taylor still sitting at 53%. Had the bye this week, comes back, so may as well pick him up. Griffin Logue put up the casual ton in his first game for a fair while after dealing with significant injury through his career. 18% of teams owned. Worth a look if you need a speculative defender for the week. Would not expect a similar output, however. Alia is great in Supercoach, but actually is proving to be pretty handy in AFL Fantasy as well. Sitting at 88 average over his last three games with a 44% ownership. Jono was right in saying that defenders go pretty big against Hawthorn, and they've got, I think you were saying, the Swans on deck anyway, so that's, you know, all signs pointing good for Alia. Bailey Fritch, he just butchered the ball last week, but he actually had a...
I find that so hard to believe because he is such a good kick. When I watch him, I think he's good.
I generally do as well, but
I think it was an off week.
He had a shocker. But that being said, 58% owned, and he saw more of the ball. And I think that's as a result of old mate Sam May Day Pay. God damn it! You know, the big fella,
Steve May.
That's the one. Steve May coming back into the team and freeing him up a little bit more, so he could be pretty valuable going forward.
Cool. All right, Jono, what have you got?
Yeah, look, we got Sam Reed, 54% against the Hawks. We saw them go absolutely ham against West Coast before their bye. Him and Buddy, it's at the SCG again against the Hawks. I can't see them missing out on this one. I did have Griffin Logue there, Alia. I've also got Timmy Membry. He's in a rich vein of form at the moment at 61%. They're playing the Brisbane Lions this week, and I'm expecting it to be a fast game of footy, so a lot of scoring shots on offer.
Alrighty, and Stevie, what have you got?
Yeah, I was actually with Cam on Alia, Taylor, and Fritch. I've also got Ollie Florent. He's at 62% ownership, which shocked me because I thought he would have been owned in a lot of keepers. He is really putting together a nice little season. He took a lot of CBAs, although that was with JPK out. I'd expect him back. And just a couple of blokes who are fractionally over the 65%. Will Hoskin Elliott playing the Doggies. He's playing a lot more wing time, so 67% ownership as a forward like that. And Jared Berry is 71% ownership. I think Cam just mentioned him as well. But he's a couple of weeks away, but I think Brisbane sorely missed him. And just on Louis Taylor, I will say it was quite hot up in Townsville. So what? And St Kilda were, like, whilst Gold Coast just fell in a heap, I don't think St Kilda were exactly running on top of the ground either. So I might look to use a couple more Brisbane players this week.
I've got just one more, and this is a real speculative one, 29% owned, and it is Oscar Baker. He's got forward status in Ultimate Footy, and the only reason I flag it, he's got some okay
draft forward
show,
not
scores.
Salary cap show.
Yes, I know. I'm just saying, think about this. He's managed 72, 87, and 76, and he's had three of his first four opposition teams being West Coast, GWS, and Collingwood. Like, you know, that's a pretty hard induction to the AFL. I'm just saying, watch, he's got a not bad wing role. Just keep an eye open. If you're looking for some one streamer during the bye rounds, I know it is a salary cap, more of a salary cap thing, but, you know, just keep an eye out. Okay, on to the trade of the week with Steve.
Oh, yeah, that bit. Hang on, just let me turn the page. Very well prepared here. My trade of the week is Lockie Hunter. He's had a very slow last month, and he might be the cheapest Dogs midfielder you are able to trade for, because I seriously don't think you are trading for Dunkley and McRae off the weekend. If you were trading for McRae in Dream Team formats, that was last week. And the Bont, I think that's going to be very hard. But if Libba's missing some time after knee surgery, which we're kind of expecting, Cam?
Yep.
Yep. I think Lockie Hunt is a pretty handy buy target. I think Paddy Lipinski, he's owned in about 75% of leagues, so when you take the keeper equation of Ultimate Footy out of it, he might be available in a lot of redraft leagues. And just on the other hand, if you need a ruckman, I think Jared Witts makes a fantastic buy target, especially with the fact he's on buy this week. So if you play in a league that has plays through the buys and maybe the Witts owner needs to make a move, Jonathan?
2 out of 2 so far, baby. I'm good.
You need to win. But after the buy, he's got Richmond, yes. Sydney, yes. Riley O'Brien, who he's already dropped a 126 on. Carlton, yes. Okay, so Essendon and Collingwood, not great matchups. But then Brisbane, Hawthorn, GWS. Holy shit balls, that is a great string of games. He's averaging the 99 Dream Team and 92 Supercoach. All I'm saying is you could do a hell of a lot worse.
I'm wondering, Steve, that's obviously a brilliant run. Does the fact that they had to or thought that maybe he could use a chop out in this game and they run Day a bit more in there, even just against Marshall, who you would have thought, you know, Marshall is a good ruck, but he's not an established ruck in the league. Is that concerning going forward, though?
Not at all. He's been getting a chop out every week anyway from Peter Wright. This is not concerning in the slightest. Look at the average, 100 average. Like, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the reason why he had a bit more of a chop out this game, he copped a lower leg injury early on and sort of tried to play through it and was actually pretty fine and should be good to go after the bye.
Okay, awesome to know all those factors. Okay, we get on to Captain Risky with Jono. So a bit of a riskier pick for the captain this week heading into round 14, Jono.
Yeah, well, excuse me, Trent Cotchin was a very risky pick that didn't pay off because he didn't play the game.
Fuck, what a terrible call, Jono.
Shoot me down on Twitter. But Ricky Henderson, he is braining it this year, averaging 104 AFL Fantasy, 103 Supercoach. They are playing the Swans, and we have seen the Swans run two taggers. So we could see, I'm not going to say it, that guy that Statesman likes, and Georgie Hewitt run with him. So one or the other, one should definitely go to O'Meara, but I can see the other one coming to Ricky Bobby this weekend.
Yeah, and how's the Clark brothers just penciled in both for tagging roles? That's a rough induction into the AFL. All right, well, if you do want more captain options, check out the Draft Doctor's website to find the Statesman Skippers article. He goes through just about every game for the week. He does go through every game of the week and gives you an option for a gun and a captain risky option for each one of those. So check that out on the website. You can also find Cam's injury report. We've talked about a few injuries this week that might be key for your fantasy teams. We've also got a dozen deals, usually by Sam Porter, but at the moment by Mr. Stevie Fizz himself. And of course, you can check out Jono's late week pickups to get those final cheeky pickups at the end of the week. Check them all out at thedraftdoctors.com.au. We'll now get on to our listener questions, and there's a few coming through on the Twitter sphere. I'll just get that up right now. And the first one comes from We Got a Big Cox, one of our favorite listeners there. Where did Griffin Lowe come from, and will he repeat this? And WTF happened to Armo? Thought he would be a sure thing without steel in the side.
Well, he came from his mum's vagina, I think.
Hello, Mrs. Logue. How you doing?
Well, yep. Are we going to answer? Like, I didn't manage to see this. Cam, you actually said he looked pretty good. And like Connor Blakely and him, you said that he actually looked more impressive down back than Blakely. So what do you think, Griffin Logue? I mean, he's not going to pop you a ton every week, but did he look okay? I mean, I thought he'd be more of sort of getting you those 60s to 70s, maybe pop an 80. Very athletic guy, though, right?
I completely expected the same, and his injury history is putrid, so there's every chance that he goes down again. But that being said, he'll cost you nothing off the waiver. You may as well. I think this is the time of the season where you look for those, you know, one or two waiver pickups that get you through finals. Why not take a punt?
Yeah, and I think I heard something interesting on the Footy Rhino podcast talking about his confidence being quite an elite on the confidence level there. So he's certainly got faith in himself, so maybe you can put some faith in him and grab him off the wire. All right, this one comes from TWR. Is it reasonable to maintain an erection during all Western Bulldogs games if you own Dunkley, Daniel, English and Smith in a keeper? And then Footy Rhino actually adds, and Lipinski, asking for a friend. Jono, maybe you can answer.
Can we talk? Can we talk about Bailey Smith's haircut, though?
It's
because that is some rancid shit.
He's doing it for charity.
No, that is charity. Phenomenal. Beautiful.
He's doing the mullet for charity.
I saw the wavy ass lines down in Hobart, and that looked better than his hair.
No, he's doing it. It's for a charity thing. There's a mullet charity, so he's doing it, and then right, doing it for a good cause. So.
It also does actually look beautiful.
No, it looks horrendous. But no, he's doing it for a good cause.
No, it looks beautiful. Okay, on to the next question, and by the way, it is reasonable to maintain that erection.
Yeah, definitely.
Alex says, is George Haaland-Smith finally in the discussion for peak status, Cam?
Yeah, straight to the sty, but it's a different form of sty. This is a shit sty, and I just, that's a straight up bust, isn't it?
To the abattoir.
Yeah. It's not your greatest call, but I did see the other day, you were actually very high on Brad Crouch, which he's been astonishing, Cam. So we will give you that one. And I was proud of you looking back at that pick there, Cam.
Oh, thanks, Doss.
Kyle says, fantasy question, is Walters an F5/6 option as a POD? I think that is a # off-brand question, but Steve, you do love the Walters. What do you reckon?
Oh, I love the Walters, but I can't answer that question because it's salary cap. Sorry, who wrote that in?
Kyle Brett.
Kyle.
Blocked.
Kyle.
Blocked.
Kyle, what's going on? Kyle, no one gives a fuck about salary cap, mate. What's going on? Come on, Kyle. Get 90 your closest and have a draft day.
Okay, the fossil. He says, is Taranto now to be called Go Taranto? And where did he go in your drafts? He slipped to round 8 for me. #steal, #GoToranto.
Yeah, I got Toronto in our home league, John. I think it was round 7 or 8, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. I've got the sheets here. I was just having a quick look, but I couldn't see where he went. But yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. I just want to say, just quickly on the Toronto thing, that yes, he's been amazing and all that sort of thing, and we all love it, and we really hope he broke out. Don't think anyone expected to this level. But I will say, we need to remember a couple of things have broken his way. Like, yes, he was an elite talent coming through. Yes, it's his third year breakout. But we've got to remember he's walked into a midfield where he's never going to be tagged, that is going to dominate the matches. And, oh, yeah, they've had one of the best midfielders in the competition play 5 minutes this year. So there's an entire role in this GWS midfield. I'm talking about Callan Ward's hair has gone out, okay? And we often forget that. So I just want people to be aware that, yes, it's worked out to be a fantastic pick, but I think you need to take stock of the how and why it's happened. I think he still would have been really good. He still would have probably been over 100 in both formats, but probably wouldn't be, was he like 115 or 17 or something in AFL Fantasy and 110 in Supercoach, something crazy like that. Yeah. I find it hard to believe that he'd be at those levels because he'd probably be spending a bit more time forward of the ball.
Yeah, it's certainly a good point. I mean, amazing if you've picked him up, and congratulations to those who have. Justin says, what's Toby McLean's problem? Do we hold or dump to the waivers?
Dump to the waivers. I used him this week in a matchup and watched him pretty closely against Carlton. And, yeah, he's just playing inside 50. He'll take 2 or 3 centre bounces. That's about it. Gives away a lot of free kicks. Just the build score's not there. So throwing him back into the pool.
Does Libba help him, Jono, if Libba's going to miss a month?
No, well, it helped Lipinski. Toby McLean did not move in at all, really, when Libba went down. They just maintained with Lipinski and Smith.
I think it's so crazy as well because Bevo's the kind of guy who, like, you know, just for no reason whatsoever, he's going to decide one day to put fucking DeRay in the mid, and DeRay's going to be, like, amazing. He could do exactly the same with McLean, but I think for now you have to drop him.
Yeah. Look, we know he can score when he does play there, but there's just no spot for him.
He got dropped in our home league, and, Johnny, you waved for him, and...
Yeah, he's going straight back in the pool.
He dropped that, lazy chud on you.
44. Loved it. Loved it. What?
107 in the first half of that. This is just AFL fantasy points, 107 for the first whole half of last year. It's just amazing how like role can just, that's what role does, isn't it? So anyway, Jordan asks on the Facebook, who is most likely to come back to play in their sides? So he's got to hold one of these guys. It's Ahern or Cutler, Tommy Cutts or Paul Ahern. If they play, they will be playing M8, depending on matchups with Tomlinson of GWS.
God, look, the way you boys are turning away makes me not want to answer this, but it can't be Tommy Cutts.
No, it can't be trusted. That,
yeah, I know. I don't want to say it. Is that dude long for the AFL? I mean, what a rig, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, is there anyone else? Like, because... Maybe neither.
I've got a Hearn in one keeper league and I really don't like it.
Yeah.
If you didn't get a game this week, a Hearn, when will you get a game?
Well, Garner was pretty bad today, actually. So maybe he came in for the injury. So maybe a Hearn gets a run next week. But I think he's, you know, I'd see what else is available, to be honest.
The problem with Ahern is, like, look at what North Melbourne have got, right? Like, they've got LDU, they've got, you know, Cunnington's not exactly going away tomorrow. They traded for Anderson, who's been pretty good. You know, Taron Thomas probably gets in there at some point. Like, he's been, I'd say his first year's been really good, probably hasn't been spoken about enough, to be honest. Where does he fit in? Like, we've seen him last year be pretty good. I thought he was fine. But it's the same thing with everyone. Like, where do you fit in? It might just be a square peg in a round hole sort of thing.
Yeah. I'd be definitely keeping an eye on some second stats to see who's on the brink, and maybe just like any one of those guys could be better than, you know, these guys. But Paul Ahern obviously has shown scoring ability in low time on ground, so I guess that's the gold at the end of the tunnel if he ever gets it.
The thing is, I look at what did the clubs give up to get you into the club, and it's like, I mean, North Melbourne probably got a Hearn at unders, but Tommy Cotts was, you know, let's be honest, like, got the arm and a leg. Like, if he's not getting a game in this Brisbane team when Brisbane improve, which we would expect them to keep improving, like, he doesn't keep playing in that team, does he? He's not even playing in it now.
Nah.
And who's retiring from their midfield?
Yeah.
Yeah, no one.
All right. Well, I think that's all the questions coming through. You can follow us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter. You can search The Draft Doctors on Facebook and Instagram as well. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes or whatever platform you listen to. And any closing statements, boys? The last week's was pretty good. It was just go out there and win. What do we got this week?
Win again.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
Just keep winning.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.
I'll see myself out.
Yeah, all right.